Hi, this is Dr. Leo Stouter again, Anatomy on the Beach, and we're going to be talking about the integumentary system today. A big word means the system that is going to really include the skin, the nails, hair, glands, nerve endings. All that's going to be the integumentary system. As you remember, a system is going to be a collection of organs. Personally, I think this is a sort of wimpy kind of system, because it has as its organs nails, hair, glands, nerve endings. It's not like, you know, when you look at, like, well, let's say the urinary system, where you have the bladder and the kidneys, the ureters, you know, the urethra. I mean, these are real organs, but anyways, that's just my thing. So the skin is going to be the largest organ of the body. We think maybe that the liver is the largest organ, but if you take the skin, it's going to be able to, you know, if you were to take your skin off your body and iron it out, it would cover a tennis court. Well, maybe not tennis court. Maybe it would cover a ping pong table, at least. So it's big, is the point. And it's the largest organ of the body. So it has the ability to do all the functions that we'll talk about that the skin does, and therefore, it's going to be a very beneficial organ to your body. Now, two parts of the skin are going to be the epidermis and the dermis. The epidermis is going to be epi on top of the dermis, which is going to be below. And then below the dermis is going to be what we call the subcutaneous, or the deep layer. Subcutaneous is going to be underneath the cutaneous, which would be on top. So it's basically underneath the on top. So it's going to be the subcutaneous layer. It's also called the superficial fascia, and also the hypodermis. Now, hypo means underneath, so it's going to be underneath the dermis. We have epidermis on top of the dermis, and then we have hypodermis. And you'll recognize this when you give an injection to someone. You'll use a needle that will go into the epidermis, past the dermis, into the hypodermis, and you'll call that needle a hypodermic needle. Now, the epidermis is going to have five layers, typically. Now, sometimes it only has four, but it has five in your hands and your feet. And that fifth layer is called the stratum lucidum, for clear. So it's going to be a clear layer, but it's going to be a layer there that's going to make your palms and your feet a little thicker. Because we use our palms and our hands and our feet to, well, we use our feet, of course, to walk. Our hands, we're going to be grasping things. So we need to have a thicker layer there. But throughout the whole skin, we basically have four layers. The stratum basal, the stratum spinosum, stratum granulosum, and then the stratum corneum. And we want to include the stratum lucidum in there just so that we know. But we have to realize it's only in the palms and the feet. Now, this is as we go from deep to superficial. So what we're doing is we're going from the bottom to the top. So when we have the stratum basal, this is going to be the base. It's also known as the stratum germinativum in the old days. But we don't use that term really anymore. We use the stratum basal. And this is going to be a germ layer. This is where really the epidermis starts to perpetuate itself. This layer provides new cells by mitotic cell division. The stratum spinosum is going to be really a supportive layer, a structural layer that helps the skin resist abrasion. It has little spines that actually start to support the skin. And the stratum granulosum helps to form a waterproof barrier that functions to prevent fluid loss from the body. And then we have the stratum lucidum, as we said, only found in the palms and the feet. And then the stratum corneum. Corneum, think of it as a crown. It's composed of flat, dead cells that continually flake off. It's a vital barrier for the skin, however, so we don't get infections and other things. So the stratum corneum is going to be the very, very top layer. And this is the layer, then, that's going to be sloughing off, because as the cells go from the stratum basal, they continue up and they start to lose their nucleus, therefore their dead cells, and as they get to the top, or the stratum corneum, they start to fluff off. And this is really the reason for, you know, for the renewal of your skin. Eventually, we're going to be sloughing off the very, very top layer, or the stratum corneum. To remember these layers, we remember that big sweet guys love candy. Now remember, we're going from the base to the top, so we're going from deep to superficial. So big for stratum basal. The S in sweet is for stratum spinosum. The G is for stratum granulosum. The L is in love is for stratum lucidium. And finally, the stratum corneum is going to be represented with the candy or the C. Now, as we said, epi means above. So we have cells that are going to be in the epidermis. We have, like, for instance, the keratinocytes, the melanocytes, the Langerhans cells, and also the Merkel cells. The keratinocytes are going to be where we actually have protein production, and this is going to be the protein keratin. Now, we need to realize that keratin is going to be distinct from another product we're going to see later on, keratine, which is spelled with a C, and that's going to be a pigment of the skin. But this is going to be the protein of the skin, keratin. Now, keratin will allow for the skin to be waterproofed. It'll protect the skin. And you'll notice that your skin never needs ironing. You wake up, your skin has its folds, your skin has its wrinkles, and you never need to worry about ironing it because it's always ready to go. You just wash, go in the shower, and wear. Now, melanocytes are going to be these cells, these sites, cells, that are going to be producing melanin. And melanin is going to be a black and brown pigment, which protects the nucleus from the sun's UV rays. So the darker your skin, the more resistance you have to the UV rays. So therefore, your skin is going to be more resistant to cancer, for instance. So if you have your heritage from a place in the world where there's lots of sun, you'll tend to have darker skin. From Africa, you'll tend to have darker skin. If you're from the Mediterranean area, you'll have darker skin. If you're from more of the northern climes, like England or any Scandinavian countries, you're going to have lighter skin. That's just because there's no necessity to have darker skin. Now, the Langerhans cells are going to be responsible for immunity. The Merkel cells are going to be responsible for touch. These are all going to be in the epidermis. Now, since it's going to be very superficial, epi, we would expect the Merkel cells to have more of a light touch. Deeper touch cells will have a deeper touch, like the Meissner's corpuscles. These are found in the dermis. So they're going to have a deeper kind of touch. So the Meissner's are going to be more like feeling what a quarter would feel like on your skin, and the Merkel's would be more like what you feel like when you put a dime on your skin. So one's more superficial, or shall we say superficial touch, the other one's going to be deeper touch. We also have the phenomena in the dermis of having dermal papillae. A dermal papillae is going to be really an elevation of the dermis, which causes a sort of ripple effect into the epidermis. So because you have the dermal papillae sticking up, that's going to continue into the epidermis, and that's going to cause the epidermis to also stick up. But where you don't have that sticking up, that's the mountainous aspect, you have a valley right next to it, and therefore the epidermis is going to go into that valley. So you have ridges that are going to be occurring. These ridges we call fingerprints. Now, the dermis has the ability to be extended or to be very elastic. We call it extensibility, the stretchability. We also call it elasticity, which is the bouncing back ability. So if you look at the back of your hand and you just pull up your skin, you'll feel that it will be able to go away from your hand. And then you let go, and you'll see that ridge is quickly taken care of. So the pulling of your skin would be the extensibility, the ability to stretch. And then the letting go and it goes going back to normal would be your elasticity. So when we look at the fingerprints, once again, they're going to be epidermal ridges. They're going to conform to the underlying dermal papillae. These dermal papillae are going to go up and down. So we have a mountain and we have a valley, a mountain and a valley. So this is going to increase our grip because it's going to give us more friction. So as we touch something, as we hold something, even with our hands or our feet, we're going to have the ability to increase the friction. So that's going to help us to hold on to that object. And they're unique in everyone. Each finger may be different. And they come in really three different varieties. We have the loop, we have the whirl, we also have the arch. And these spell law, so it's easy to remember. Because, you know, people in law enforcement take fingerprints. Now, some skin facts are that we have the callus being formed. The callus can be formed if there's going to be any kind of irritation to the skin itself. Now, a callus is going to be formed out of the increased irritation to the epidermis. Also, stretch marks will occur in the dermis. The closest estimate of the average thickness of the dermis is going, or the epidermis is going to be about 1 to 2 millimeters. So it's pretty thin. When we think of a millimeter, we think of the thickness of a dime. So think of 2.5 dimes or 2 dimes put together. That's about how thick we're going to see our skin to be. We get new skin every 2 to 4 weeks, and 75% of our house dust is going to be our dead skin. So we talked about the very, very top stratum corneum being sloughed off. So this is going to be our skin that's going to be sort of coming off of us, and it's going to be creating our house dust. So when you are dusting next time in your house, realize that it's mostly you. You're the cause for the dust. As cells migrate to the surface, they lose their nucleus, and so they become dead. Yes. So we are basically covered in a skin of death. Now let's look at skin color. Skin color results from the differences in exposure to ultraviolet light. As we said, we have individuals that have their heritage from areas where there's hardly any light, so they're going to have lighter skin, or to areas where there's lots of sunlight, they're going to have darker skin. So the ultraviolet radiation, or the UVR, has an adverse effect in that it could cause skin cancer, but it has a good effect and it's going to cause synthesis of vitamin D, which is necessary for calcium absorption. So we recommend that you don't run from the sun. You should get at least 1 hour of sun every day. It's very, very good for you. It's just, once again, it's one of these things of moderation. Now, some people feel if they use the sunblocks or whatever else, they can stay out longer. And that can be problematic, and we'll talk about that later. Now, skin color with black people, but people that are native to the tropics and their descendants tend to have well-melanized skin. So that's to screen out the UVR. So it could be suspected that maybe they might be vitamin D deficiency, have a vitamin D deficiency because of this. Now whites, people native to the farther northern climes, where the sunlight is weaker, will tend to have lighter skin. They also, if living in a northern climate, may have a vitamin D deficiency as well, because there's not as much sunlight. So they might want to supplement. I think basically everybody should be supplementing with vitamin D anyways. At least 1,000 IUs a day, I think, is acceptable for most individuals. Now, skin color. We have blacks that have increased melanin. Whites that have a whiter color to their skin, and this is due to the fact that they don't have melanin. And also they have sometimes a blushiness to them. They have a little bit of redness to them. And that's because of the blood hemoglobin. So we actually see their blood vessels in their skin. And also there's a little bit of keratin. Remember, this word keratin is distinct because it has a C. That's distinct from our other keratin, which was with a K, which was the protein in the skin. Now Asians have a lot of keratin. That's why they may appear slightly yellow, and a yellow hue. They're not really yellow, but they have a yellow hue. Now, albinos, do they lack melanocytes? The answer is no. They have enough melanocytes. The problem is that they don't produce melanin, and melanin is that pigment. So I ask, why do they have pink eyes? Well, they have pink eyes because they have no melanin in their irises. So all we're seeing is the blood vessels that are in their eyes.